Akatra Foundation presents The Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're embarking on a fascinating journey with someone who has truly mastered their own narrative. In a world, you know, constantly trying to define them,
yeah. We're
talking about Lauren Kiana, Cake Palmer, an artist, entrepreneur, cultural icon, just someone who defied every expectation Hollywood tried to impose.
And maybe society in general, right?
Yeah,
just Hollywood.
Exactly. Every box society tried to put her in.
So our mission with this deep dive is, it's to shortcut you to the core of Kiki Palmer's philosophy, particularly this overarching concept she really embodies, becoming a master of me. We'll explore how she reclaimed her agency, fiercely maintained her authentic identity, and, you know, provides a powerful blueprint for anyone navigating those external pressures, whether you're in the spotlight or just like trying to figure out your own life. And what's really compelling here, I think, is that our main source for this is Kiki Palmer's 2017 book. It's kind of memoir, kind of self-help, I Don't Belong to You, Quiet the Noise and Find Your Voice.
Right.
But it's important to clarify something up front. This idea, master of me, it perfectly sums up her philosophy, her whole journey of self-actualization.
Yeah.
But it's not like a separate book with that title.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the powerful theme that's woven through her published work and honestly just her lived experience.
Gotcha. So for anyone maybe less familiar, who is Kiki Palmer? Born August 26, 1993. She's American actress, singer, TV personality, entrepreneur.
The list goes on.
It really does. Rose to fame as a child performer, which is tough enough, but has stayed brilliantly relevant for over two decades now. A true multi-hyphenate talent, constantly evolving.
And that voice.
Yeah.
Her versatility plus this, like, unmistakably authentic voice.
Yeah.
It feels very representative of a generation that just refuses to be confined.
Absolutely. And her story matters, I think, because it's not just another celebrity memoir, you know? It's really a masterclass in staying true to yourself despite huge industry pressures, systemic barriers, and just the struggle for genuine self-expression in this crazy digital age we're all in.
Totally.
So for you, our listener, here's the plan. We'll trace Kiki's life chronologically first. Formative years, peak achievements.
Whole arc.
Right. Then we'll dive into her core philosophy, look at some key turning points, and finally pull out those universal lessons. Practical insights you can maybe apply to your own life, whatever you do. Okay, let's unpack this chronological journey then. How Kiki built this, masterpiece of a life. It starts in Harvey, Illinois, near Chicago.
Right.
Her parents, Sharon and Larry Palmer. An interesting mix, you said.
Yeah, kind of almost destined, you could say. Her mom was an actress who'd sort of put her own dreams on hold. And her dad worked in polyurethane and plastics. So you get this blend of artistic ambition meeting very working class pragmatism.
So creativity, but also like a real grounding in hard work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that early environment was just crucial. Her maternal grandmother was the church organist.
Yeah, okay.
And that wasn't just family. That was Kiki's first real taste of the, spiritual and emotional power of music.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost trace her stage presence back there, singing hymns at 5 years old.
Wow. Five.
Yeah. And these moments, plus the family's financial struggles,
mm-hmm.
it fostered this deep resilience
mm-hmm.
and a real appreciation for every single opportunity. They knew the value of a chance.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. 9 years old, she auditions for The Lion King on stage.
Right.
Doesn't get the part, which sounds like a setback, maybe?
You'd think so.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, apparently, it just powerfully confirmed her path. It wasn't about winning that role. It was the spark it lit.
Okay.
And this led to this huge decision, the entire family relocating to California.
The whole family. Wow.
You know, not just a move, like a massive collective gamble,
yeah.
driven purely by faith in her potential. They sacrificed everything. Think about that, uprooting everyone for a 9-year-old's dream.
That puts incredible pressure on her, but also must have instilled this huge sense of responsibility.
Absolutely, that determination to make it all count. You see it throughout her career.
And her education then, totally unconventional, right? Homeschooling, on-set tutors?
Yeah, her classroom was basically a film set sometimes. Her teachers were veteran actors alongside the tutors. It definitely accelerated her maturity, like, incredibly fast. Professionalism way beyond her years.
But there's a downside too, I imagine.
Oh, for sure. She talks about it in the book, I Don't Belong to You.
Uh-huh.
A profound sense of isolation and identity confusion.
How so?
So the lines blurred between Kiki the character, this bubbly, confident kid everyone saw, and Lauren the person, who she described as quieter, more observant. That internal tension, that duality, became a really defining thing for her early on, part of that self-mastery journey.
Right. And then comes the big one, Akilah and the Bee in 2006.
The breakout, yeah.
She's only 12 or 13, starring role. Bam, national prominence. Suddenly, she's the symbol of young Black excellence.
Which is amazing, but also a heavy burden, right? Carrying the hopes and dreams of so many people at that age, it created this really complex relationship with fame and expectations right from the start.
So this public role, so young, it forces her to adapt.
Immediately, she had to develop survival mechanisms. She got incredibly good at performing according to what others expected. Great skill, professionally, probably.
Sure.
But inside, she was fiercely protecting her authentic, private self, this constant juggling act, this duality. It created this internal tension she'd spent years trying to figure out. That's a core challenge to being master of me, right?
So,
how do you satisfy the world and stay true to yourself?
It's a huge question, and her early successes kept coming. Barbershop 2 back in 2004, then True Jackson, VP.
Huge hit. 2008 to 2011 made her a massive teen TV icon, one of the highest paid child actors at the time.
But then comes that infamous child star curse, the transition.
Yeah, after True Jackson. The industry loves to typecast. She hit that frustrating spot. Too young for complex adult roles, but suddenly too old for teen parts. It's a valley a lot of young actors just don't get out of.
So how did she navigate that? Because clearly she did.
What's fascinating is how strategically she dismantled that image. She didn't just wait. She made really deliberate choices to expand her range.
Like,
okay, 2014, history-making move. First African-American Cinderella on Broadway. Required intense vocal dance training, a totally different medium.
Wow. Big swing.
Huge. Then The Wiz Live in 2015. Then you get Scream Queens, Hustlers, and of course that absolutely scene-stealing, career-defining role in Jordan Peele's Nope in 2022.
Right.
Each one wasn't just a job. It felt like a calculated step, a move to prove her versatility, break out of those boxes.
And she didn't just stick to acting either. Talk shows, social media.
Yeah, GMA3 hosting. Her social media presence is incredible, right? Feels so authentic, like she's everyone's friend. And then launching Key TV, her production company, specifically to lift up other creators.
So her whole brand became about authenticity and versatility. You don't have to choose.
Exactly. And then as she got into her late 20s, early 30s, there was another shift.
Okay.
The focus moved. Less about proving herself to others, more about deeply understanding and accepting herself.
And motherhood played a role there. Her son, Leotis, born in 2023.
A huge role. She talks about how it forced her to confront generational patterns, really reassess her core values, define what truly mattered. And that experience was a major catalyst, actually, for writing I Don't Belong to You, solidifying that whole philosophy.
So it really sounds like an ongoing journey for her, not like, okay, I've arrived at self-mastery, done.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
She's very open about ongoing therapy, her commitment to personal growth. She frames self-mastery as this continuous lifelong process, always evolving, learning, growing.
That's a powerful lesson in itself.
It really is. It's not about perfection. It's about persistence. So if we try to tie all these experiences together, Keith Palmer's core philosophy, it really boils down to narrative ownership.
Okay. Explain that a bit more.
It's this central idea that you have to actively claim and shape your own story. You refuse to let other people, the industry, society, whoever, define your identity, your worth, your path.
Which must be especially powerful for her as a Black woman in entertainment.
Hugely potent. Where external forces are constantly trying to categorize you, limit you, even kind of monetize your public image.
So it's not just about being authentic, but being strategically authentic. That sounds like a tricky balance.
It is. That's exactly it. It's about being true to your core self, your values, but also understanding the practical realities of navigating the world, your career.
Right.
It's not about shutting out all external influence. It's about maintaining agency. You decide which influences to accept, which to adapt to, maybe, and which to flat out reject. It makes you think, doesn't it? How do you maintain your core self while still dealing with all the world's pressures?
Yeah, it's a constant negotiation. No easy answers.
None.
And she seems to really embrace complexity, too, like rejecting simple either thinking.
Yes. Totally refuses to choose between being, say, professional or personal, strong or vulnerable, successful or humble. Her whole thing suggests true empowerment comes from embracing all of it, all the facets of yourself.
Instead of fitting into some neat box.
Exactly. Not conforming to others' expectations of consistency or some single identity. It's about being, as she calls it, a big boss. taking full accountability for your life, your choices, your narrative.
And there's a spiritual element too, right? Mindfulness.
Definitely. Faith seems to be a real anchor for her. It's like a moral compass. But she also champions very practical tools. Therapy, meditation, journaling, ways to quiet the noise.
That external chatter and internal self-doubt she talks about.
Precisely. And viewing life as a curriculum. Like, adversity isn't failure, it's just information, a lesson to learn from and integrate.
What do you think really drove her? Beneath the surface ambition, what were the key motivations on this journey?
Well, number one, I think, is that deep desire for authentic creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
To be seen for her full humanity, not just as a character or a type.
Makes sense.
And there's this really strong desire to connect with and empower others.
Yeah.
You see it so clearly in Key TV, but also in how open she is about tough topics, like mental health, colorism.
Yes, she doesn't shy away.
Not at all. And finally, there's this powerful, almost foundational need to build security and opportunity for her family, honoring her parents' sacrifices, providing for her son. That runs deep.
And facing adversity, she's clearly faced a lot. How does she approach it?
Her approach seems very active, vocal even, and definitely transformative.
Yeah.
She acknowledges struggles, often publicly, without shame, which is powerful in itself.
Yeah.
Then she seems to actively analyze things, tries to extract the lesson, reframing setbacks as information, not like condemnation.
Okay.
And then she acts. She pivots, she reinvents, she creates new opportunities, and she leverages support, therapy, mentors, her community. It's a really proactive model for growth, I think. Very inspiring.
Okay, so that brings us nicely to those pivotal turning points, moments that really shifted things for her and cemented this master of me philosophy. The first one has to be Aquila and the Bee, right? 2006?
Yeah, definitely. What happened was it was her first major leading film role, age 12, 13, carrying a movie opposite heavyweights like Lawrence Fishburne, Angela Bassett.
It's no small feat.
Not at all. A testament to her raw talent. And why it was transformative? Well, first, it immediately validated that huge family gamble, moving to California.
Right. Must have been a relief.
Huge relief, I imagine. It cemented her identity as a serious actress, opened so many doors. But maybe more importantly, it gave her industry credibility, public recognition. And that fostered this profound sense of responsibility. Being a role model, it really marked the start of her public life, forcing her to grapple with identity on this massive stage. An early, intense lesson in navigating external perceptions.
Then there was that period you mentioned, the post-teen star wilderness. Around 2011, 2013, asserting creative control. Sounds like a make-or-break time.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because after True Jackson, she hits that child star curse, struggling to find those complex adult roles. She talks about professional conflicts too, creative input dismissed, boundaries violated.
Oh.
Yeah. So this wasn't just a career lull. It was like a crucible for her identity. It fueled anxiety, self-doubt. But crucially, it forced her to realize she couldn't just rely on the industry to define her next step. She had to define her own path.
So it lit a fire under her.
A fierce one. Taught her resilience, strategic thinking, and just how vital self-advocacy is. It pushed her to prioritize projects that aligned with her values, not just what the industry thought she should do.
And the third one, Broadway, Cinderella, 2014, shattering ceilings.
Monumental. Making history as the first African-American Cinderella on Broadway. Intense vocal dance training involved.
Mm-hmm.
It was a massive professional risk. Immense pressure.
But she nailed it.
She did. And why it was so transformative, its success was this huge confidence booster. Proved her talent went way beyond film and TV. It showcased her discipline, her work ethic, her courage. It fundamentally broadened her artistic identity, armed her with this new self-assurance. It was like a public declaration, I will not be confined. She was the architect.
Wow. So looking at this whole arc, what are the big human lessons we can take away from Keke's journey? For ourselves.
Well, the first one that jumps out is just authenticity is a superpower.
Yeah.
Your unique voice, your humor, even your flaws, those are your greatest assets, especially now in this super curated world.
That's a great point.
Her career just proves that the most powerful personal brand is built on being genuinely you.
Yeah.
And tied to that, you are the sole author of your narrative.
Own your story.
Yes. Consistently define it. Refuse to let others write it for you. It might be a daily battle sometimes, but it's worth fighting.
And resilience. It's not passive for her, is it? It's like an active verb.
Totally.
Yeah.
She actively learns from setbacks, uses them as fuel, pivots, reinvents, creates new chances. She doesn't seem to stay down long.
Yeah.
And embracing all your hyphens. You don't have to pick one lane. Keke shows you can pursue multiple passions and weave them into this strong, cohesive identity.
I love that. And the vulnerability piece, too.
Huge. Her openness about mental health, relationships, struggles, it creates deeper connections, right? More meaningful impact than some perfect facade ever could. Relatability often beats manufactured flawlessness.
So true. And finally, maybe that growth is just ongoing. It's not linear.
Exactly. Her journey screams that personal development is lifelong. There are setbacks, breakthroughs. They're all woven together. And sometimes the setbacks are actually the biggest catalyst for growth.
Which feels very relevant right now.
Totally. Her story gives us kind of a roadmap for navigating identity in this digital age where public and private are so blurred and everyone's chasing external validation. She normalizes talking about mental health representation and just shows how one person's growth can ripple outward and contribute to bigger progress just by inspiring others to be themselves. Okay, so to try and synthesize Keke Palmer's incredible journey, let's distill it down to three final takeaways. Things designed to really resonate.
Okay.
First, let's call it an emotional insight. Really consider that profound tension between a public image and a private self. Keke's journey moving from maybe a performed strength to genuine authenticity has this powerful emotional resonance.
Yeah.
It gives us permission maybe to accept our own imperfections while we're still striving to grow. Her sharing ongoing struggles, not just neat little success stories, is so impactful because it feels like our own messy lives.
Right, it's relatable.
Exactly. Second, an intellectual insight. Think about strategic authenticity as a genuine career asset. Her career really shows that being authentic and being professionally successful aren't opposites.
Mm.
When you approach it strategically, like you know your values, you navigate external pressures intelligently. They actually reinforce each other. It's a model for balancing personal truth with professional advancement, really in any field, not just show business.
That's a really interesting way to put it, strategic authenticity.
And finally, a universal insight. Narrative ownership isn't a one-and-done thing. It's a daily practice.
Right, constant effort.
Yeah. Her core message reminds us that actively claiming and shaping our own stories takes ongoing effort. Ongoing vigilance, not just big, singular decisions. It's about continuously aligning that internal truth with your external expression. And that's something available to all of us every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So Keke Palmer's story really challenges us, I think, to look at our own relationship with authenticity and agency. Ask yourself, what's one box someone else has maybe put you in, even unconsciously? And what's one small, deliberate step you could take today, not tomorrow, today, to build your own door out of it? Or maybe just expand the walls a little bit. That journey to becoming the master of you, it really does start right now.
That is a truly powerful thought to leave everyone with, something to really reflect on. Thank you so much for joining us on the Deep Dive as we explored the incredible philosophy and the life of Keke Palmer. We really hope this has given you some valuable insights for mastering your own narrative. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.